Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich savings plan.
Ukrainian prosecutors said today that they're investigating attacks on Ukraine grain stores in Odessa as war crimes. The intense bombing of the grain stores comes after President Putin's decision to rip up a deal to allow the safe shipment of food from the Black Sea last month. The long-awaited Ukrainian counteroffensive has also slowed to a crawl as their forces encounter minefields and booby traps and strong resistance in their path as well. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Yuri Sack, advisor to Ukraine's Minister of Defence. Mr. Sack, you're very welcome to the programme. Can I ask you about the counteroffensive? Because there are reports, extensive reports, to say that it is slowing to a crawl. Is that correct?
Good evening. In fact, what is happening right now along the front line, and I would like to stress that this is a very long front line. It stretches over 900 kilometers. So we, the Ukrainian armed forces, are moving forward little by little, but steady. And the reason why the progress is, and I'd like to also stress that, look, there is hardly any nation in the world that wishes for this counteroffensive to be faster than us Ukrainians, because for us, you know, the liberation of our lands and the saving of the lives of our people is top priority. So the reason why it is so slow is, like you've rightly mentioned in your package, is that there are millions of mines. Now, so that you and your listeners understand, per square meter, there are 5 to 6 mines. Now, this means that it is not possible even to use equipment to demine. So our soldiers, our deminers, have to do it manually, and it takes much longer. But in some parts of the front line, we have moved quite a bit, and we are quietly optimistic.
My goodness, that is painstaking work then. So I wonder, this work must have been done, this mining work, this booby trap work, must have been done by Russia well before any talk of the spring counteroffensive.
Well, they have started preparing for our counteroffensive, you know, pretty much after the New Year's. And they are spraying the lands with these mines in a number of layers. So there are anti-personnel mines, then there are anti-tank mines. And like I said, it's like in some places, the depth of these minefields could be up to 15 kilometers. And it could be a sequence of, you know, similar minefields. So, of course, it's very difficult to reach them behind these minefields, and we have to be very careful, because for us, priority number one, of course, is the lives of our people. Unlike the Russians, we will never send our soldiers into battle, you know, across the minefields just as cannon fodder. This is what the Russians do. We are different. We are trying to fight a smart war, and if necessary, we'll take it slower, but we'll make sure that we achieve maximum result with minimum losses.
But the maximum result in terms of this counteroffensive, it's slow because of the landmines. Will it get even slower because of weather come the autumn and winter?
Well, indeed, the winter weather conditions could be and will be a factor. But what is happening right now, and we're seeing it across the front line, the Russian armed forces are degraded by our army. The Russians are very often very demoralized. So while, you know, it is difficult to project into the future the exact pace of this counteroffensive during the next couple of months, but it very well may be that there will come a point when the Russian armed forces will just collapse. We are continuing our kind of small-scale probing and shaping operations. We are trying to find vulnerabilities in the defense lines of the enemy. And, you know, we will, of course, it's like little cracks along the front line, and one of these cracks or couple could give way, and then we will commit our major forces, and then the pace of the counteroffensive could be different just overnight.
The Russians are doing likewise, though, and the Russian attacks on the grain store in Crimea today, that's being investigated, as you say, and in Odessa's war crimes. How devastating are those attacks, though?
Those attacks are really devastating. Just for example, last night they've attacked the grain storage in the city of Izmail, which is in the Black Sea area, and they've destroyed, with one strike, they've destroyed 40,000 tons of grain. Now, this was grain that was supposed to be delivered to the countries in Africa and Middle East and in other parts of the world. And now millions of people, because of this, will be left at risk of hunger. Now, what we're seeing is that Russian army is unable to fight Ukrainian army, so they're fighting grain storages, they're fighting civilian infrastructure. They are fighting like cowards. They are terrorists, and we will bring them to justice. They think that this can break our will and this can kind of stop us. But this only makes us more angry because we've seen Russia and the whole world has seen Russia for what it is. And, you know, the punishment is inevitable. Ukraine's victory is inevitable. And our partners stand shoulder to shoulder with us to help us achieve that.
Can I ask you about support from NATO, or what would precipitate support, further support from NATO, let's say, because the Polish government are monitoring very closely Belarusian aircraft operations, having the Belarusian aircraft invade its airspace a short time ago. Also, the attacks near the Romanian border as well, which is a NATO country. What would Kyiv say to NATO and NATO countries and the West generally about those types of invasions or attacks that are very close to the border?
We have indeed said to our NATO allies many times over the last year and a half that Russia is a cowardly terrorist state that will continue to blackmail the world, to provoke the world. But at the same time, you know, our message to our partners is, keep supporting Ukraine. Give us all the weapons that we need, because this is the only way to stop these provocations, these incidents. And the only way to do it is to help Ukraine defeat Russia on the battlefield. There are still certain types of weapons that are kind of outstanding, and we're requesting them. I'm sure you know, and your listeners know, that we are still waiting for the F-16s to be delivered to Ukraine, for the training of our pilots to begin on F-16s. Then there are long-range missiles such as ATACMS, which we hope the United States of America will provide Ukraine with. So this is our message. You know, Putin is trading and banking on fear. Let's not be afraid of these gangsters. Let's just, you know, punish them with force and restore the rules-based international order.
You're also accusing Putin of trying to cause a global food shortage. This grain deal that came to a halt last month or so, is there any chance of that being re-established?
Well, we know that the United Nations is involved heavily in trying to restore the grain deal. We know that Turkey and Turkish President Mr. Erdogan is he has actually spoken with Putin, if I'm not mistaken, today. And, you know, restoration of the grain deal was on top of their agenda, their discussion. So there is always hope. But at the same time, we are looking for alternative ways to deliver the grain that we have to the world. Of course, these are more expensive ways, because if you take them either by land or by rivers, it is not the same as you would be able to do by sea. And of course, you know, we have also said that, look, if there are military convoys to Ukrainian cargo ships carrying grain or foreign cargo ships, and I'm sure you've heard the news that yesterday the Israeli cargo ship under the cover of military ships and military jets was able to traverse the Black Sea and reach Ukrainian ports. So there are different alternative options, but restoration of grain deal is, of course, one of them.
The deal would be optimal, I'm sure. Can I ask you finally then, Yuri, about the use of drones to target to hit targets or attack targets in Moscow? Can you confirm, first of all, that they are Ukraine drones and that they're operated by the Ukrainian military?
As we have said in the past, and our president has stressed this, sooner or later, Russia would see the war in their own backyard. And, you know, we can only confirm that Ukrainian armed forces and Ukrainian special forces will never target civilian objects, because we are not Russians. And, of course, we are developing our own drone capabilities because, you know, we are last night, Kyiv was the subject again. It was the third consecutive night, 15 Shahed drones. Of course, we shot them all down, but we are the victim of these massive missile and drone attacks on a daily basis. So if Russia thought that they could carry on like this without having any repercussions, they were very wrong.
But it's and I spoke with a retired lieutenant colonel in the Irish Army who's an aviation expert on the program yesterday about Ukraine's drone capability. And I put this to him, that it's difficult to reconcile these attacks with what President Zelensky said very recently, saying that every bullet, every resource, every soldier would be used on the Ukraine side to defend Ukraine on its soil, but not encroach into Russian territory. Is there a shift in strategy now?
I don't think it's a shift in strategy. Under Article 51 of the UN Charter, we, as any other member of the United Nations, are entitled to a right to self-defense. And this right encompasses our right, inalienable right, to attack the enemy forces wherever we have to protect our territorial integrity, protect our cities.
Could it backfire, could it backfire?
As far as we are concerned, it's already, we are under fire on a daily basis. You see what happened to Odessa every day, Kherson, Kharkiv, Mykolaiv, Kyiv. Now, I'm not sure if that's the right way to put it. We need to defeat the enemy. That's our objective, and we will use every means that we have to do it. And I would like to stress that we honor our commitments before our partners, and we will, like, when we say that we will not use the weapons that we receive from our partners to attack Russia outside of Ukraine and outside of temporary occupied territories, we mean it. So no weapons that we receive from partners will be used for that.
Yuri Sak, advisor to Ukraine's Minister of Defense, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the program.